Good morning, and welcome again to the Thursday morning edition of Mornings for the Master, heard right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your Thursday morning host. I want to thank you for joining me today. Mornings for the Master is a program that is heard each weekday here on the Gospel Radio Network, and each day has a different course of study and a different host. Here on our Thursday morning editions, at the present we are studying the book of Titus, Paul's letter to Titus, and today we are going to be moving into chapter 3 of our study. Now, remember that Mornings for the Master is heard each weekday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. Then the program is replayed in the evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and these programs are posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website shortly thereafter. Now, in case you have not been with us in our study of Titus, you can go to the on-demand section, and there you can pull up these previous programs in our study of Titus and catch up with us. And you can also use this to access any of the other programs that are heard here on TGRN. Now, as I said, we are moving into chapter 3, and today we are going to begin by considering the grace of the heirs of grace. So we begin today with verses 1 and 2 here in chapter 3. Let's go there now. As Paul instructs Titus, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men." Now, in his letter to Titus, Paul has commanded Titus to do two things. One of those is to set in order the things that are lacking. Let's look back to chapter 1 and notice verse 5. Paul said, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." He also instructed Titus to speak the things proper for sound doctrine. Consider chapter 2 and verse 1. "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." Now, the first had to do with the appointment of elders. And the qualifications of elders were then listed by Paul. Again, return back to chapter 1 and notice beginning in verse 5. "For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So that task included dealing with insubordinate talkers and deceivers. Notice, beginning in verse 10. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Now the second part had to do with the conduct that is becoming members of the Lord's church. It was for men and women, both young and old, and even slave or free. Let's see that now in chapter 2 as we continue to look back at the earlier part of the letter. Let's pick up in verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Now, Paul then goes on to remind us of the recipients of this wonderful grace of God, beginning in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. And so now, as we come to our text for today, as we move into chapter 3, that Paul is going to continue to give instruction to Titus on the things that he needs to remind the brethren of. And we find him now describing the graces of the heirs of grace. How recipients of God's grace should act toward others. So we want to begin by considering how the Christian should act to those in authority, since we are recipients of God's grace. And toward those in authority, we are to be subject and to obey them. Now, it is not just here, for Paul also elsewhere gives the same charge. We certainly can look to Romans chapter 13, and beginning in verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due: taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Now we can also here notice Paul's letter to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, Paul said, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." Now this charge would be reinforced by the Apostle Peter as well as Paul. Consider what Peter had to say in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 13 through 17. "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." So as you can see, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter both reflect the words of Jesus in their writing. For let's consider now back to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22 and verses 17 through 21. "Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money." So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." So when we think about our responsibility as Christians to our civil governments, it really could be summarized in three words: obey, pay, and pray. Obey the civil authorities, pay your taxes, and pray for those rulers. That is the Christian's duty. But now, we also need to remember that as citizens, yes, we pay our taxes, but we are to be ready for every good work, Paul teaches us. As citizens, we should be prepared to serve our country and to serve our fellow citizens in ways that are consistent with the teaching of Christ, and that is to be doing good works for your land and your neighbor. Recall the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus told his disciples to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Remember what Paul told the Philippian brethren in chapter 2 and verses 4 through 6. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I know that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Now, consider this is a recurring theme that is stressed throughout Paul's letter that we are studying to Titus. Remember back to chapter 2 and verse 14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. And now here in chapter 3, notice verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Chapter 3 and verse 14 says, and let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Such gracious conduct is proper for the heirs of grace. Now, as we saw in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, God's grace does not give us a license to do whatever we want. Instead, it teaches us to respect and to obey those in authority. So as we continue, we see that it also teaches us how to live graciously. One way that we do that is to speak evil of no one. Now, speak evil would be defined as to blaspheme, to revile, or to hurt the reputation, or smite with reports or words. Speak evil of, to slander, rail. The New American Standard here says to malign no one. The application here is certainly to all men. Certainly the brethren. Notice Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Also, we do well to remember the words of James in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge one another? Recall the caution of Michael the archangel in reproaching even the devil. Jude in verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Indeed, we must speak out against error. But let us be gracious in how we speak of those in error. We are to be peaceable. Peaceable means not disposed to a fight, not contentious or quarrelsome. This quality was certainly displayed by the Apostle Paul himself toward his brethren. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. You see, to be peaceable is a virtue that we should be displaying even toward those in error. Consider 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. This is a gracious indicator of heavenly wisdom. Consider James chapter 3 and verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. We must understand that we can contend for the faith without being contentious. We can disagree without being disagreeable. We certainly can be gentle. Thayer defines it as being equitable, fair, mild, or gentle. We can be gentle towards those who attack us. We can be yielding and considerate, not urging one's rights to the uttermost, but being forbearing and kind. For we must realize that a grace has been extended toward all men. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Mature Christians will have a willingness to turn the other cheek, not just literally, but also figuratively. Mature Christians will show all humility. Thayer defines humility as gentleness, mildness, meekness. Some other versions have slightly different renderings. The ESV says to show perfect courtesy. The original King James, showing all meekness. The New American Standard, showing every consideration. The Revised Standard, to show every courtesy. This is a quality that is present in the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Yes, as mature Christians, let's set an example of gracious conduct as heirs of grace. So why will we act in such a way? The reason for this type of conduct is given as Paul continues in his letter. Though we were once foolish or disobedient, as we would read in Titus, here in back in chapter 3 of Titus in verse 3, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now, as we continue in chapter 3, we'll see that we have been saved by the kindness, love, and mercy of God, verses 4 through 6, and that we have been justified by His grace as heirs of grace in verse 7. But are we willing to conduct ourselves in ways that are appropriate for an heir of grace? What about our conduct toward those in authority, even when it's a wicked and evil emperor such as Nero? Will we act and conduct ourselves with graciously toward all men, not just the brethren, but even those who may oppose and oppress us? Indeed, that is our calling. May we grow in grace to become the kind of people for which Jesus died. Let's close our study today with chapter 2 and verse 14. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. If the Lord wills, next week we'll continue our study here in chapter 3 of the book of Titus. We'll certainly look forward to that. Again, I want to remind you that our program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it will be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. Be sure tomorrow to tune in to Mornings for the Master, and your host will be Brother Chip Horton, and he'll be bringing another great lesson that you will not want to miss. Be sure to tune in throughout the day to the programs here on the network. Many great teachers and lessons are just waiting for you. Check out the on-demand section. Also, remember that you have the opportunity to hear great programs from the Telstar Archives each week, with decades of great sermons from great gospel preachers through the years. Again, I look forward to being with you next week, if the Lord wills. And so, until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, and I hope you have a great day.